silence.
And what does that, what is like the nature of those tridents? That's explained just a few lines down. Shula means a trident. So there are two forms of these tridents. One is the mundane threefold attributes, or in other words, the three modes. And the other form is time in its threefold divisions, past, present, and future. So these people try to sort of force their way into Goloka Vrindavan, where they don't belong and they're really not qualified to go. And they become captured by the influence of the modes and or the influence of time. So they fall down. So that includes the jnanis, the impersonalists, and the ashtanga yogis, or different types of yogis, really. Then there is, let's see, a little further down, those who proceed towards the direction of Goloka through the channel of devotion, alloyed with majestic ideas. They become fascinated with the charms of Vaikuntha, particularly features like the eight mystical perfections which exist there, and the majesties like Mahapadma. Mahapadma, Padma, Shankar, Makara, Kachapa, Mukunda, Kundra, and Nila. These are eight mystical treasures, valuable gems, and they're there in Vaikuntha. So people whose devotion, these are devotees now, but their devotion is influenced by the concept of Aishvarya, not pure love, but they have some attraction for the majestic feature of the Supreme Lord, in other words, Lord Narayan. So they get attracted to Vaikuntha by the incredible wealth there and by the existence of the mystical powers which are there in Vaikuntha in their original forms. Anima and Lagima and Prakamya and all these different mystical cities which are originally spiritual. But they are within Vaikuntha. Then, now we come to the very interesting part. This is the main part, really. Down the bottom of page 13, there is now a discussion about what is mentioned in the verse, actually, right at the end, or towards the end of the verse. The associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red, and white. So what does this mean? This means that the Yuga avatars are residing in Goloka, in Swetadweep. The Yuga avatars in Satya Yuga is white, in Treta Yuga red, in Dwarpara Yuga blue, blackish blue, and in this Kali Yuga yellow or golden. So the Yuga avatars in their original forms, not normally their forms of Vishnu, their Vishnu avatars, and their abodes are in Vaikuntha. So just for example, just recently Lord Chaitanya appeared. He is golden avatar, but he is very special golden avatar, very special Kali Yuga avatar, because he's Krishna. But normally in other Kali Yugas, the remaining 999 Kali Yugas in a day of Brahma, in this day of Brahma, normally the Kali Yuga golden avatar is not Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, but they are Vishnu. They're Lord Vishnu. And being Lord Vishnu, those avatars are not able to give love for Krishna in Vrindavan, but they teach worship of Vishnu, chanting the holy names of Vishnu. But in their original forms, the Yuga avatars exist, like the prototype Yuga avatars exist on Swetadweep. And of course, Lord Chaitanya is one of those prototypes. So he's also there on Swetadweep. So then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta goes on to talk about the Yuga avatars, or actually about Lord Chaitanya and the significance of Swetadweep, and particularly the part of Swetadweep where Lord Chaitanya is. This is something quite striking, actually. So down the bottom of page 13, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that it is only the divine selves of Godhead, the propounders of the divine dispensations for the different ages, in other words, the Yuga avatars, who are always forward there to favor the approaching devotees who are seeking entry into the realm of Goloka through the channel of pure devotional love. These divine forms of Godhead are surrounded with attendants of their respective natures. Yeah. Swetadweep in Goloka is their place of abode. Hence, Srila Thakur Vrindavan, the manifest Vyas of Chaitanya Lila, has described the village of Navadweep as bearing the name of Swetadweep. Sometimes if you read Vrindavan Das Thakur's book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, he refers to Navadweep as Swetadweep. Yes, because as Gokula is non-different from Goloka, so Navadweep in Bengal is non-different from this Swetadweep we're reading about here in Goloka Vrindavan. So, you know, the names are interchangeable. They are the same also. They're exactly the same. So then he goes on to make, it's really a very important point about the importance of Swetadweep. You might think that Swetadweep being outside of that inner Gokula area where Krishna lives, and being a place connected with Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, and so on, you might think this is like a lesser part of Goloka, a less important part of the supreme abode. But now Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is going to explain how Swetadweep is no less than the rest of the Supreme Lord's supreme abode. Not only is it no less, but it actually makes complete the inner part. And without that Swetadweep area, the inner part would not be complete. So let us just read on a bit. In this Swetadweep, the concluding portions of the pastimes of Gokula exist eternally as the pastimes of Navadweep. Hence the region of Navadweep, Vraja, and the realm of Goloka are one and the same indivisible entity. The difference only lies in the manifestations of the infinite variety of sentiments. So there are different moods, but it is not that one mood is greater than another, and that therefore one part is greater than another part, although we might possibly think that the inner part is more important than the outer Swetadweep part. Then he goes on basically to talk about different types of people who don't make it, I'm afraid. They just can't make it. All the people in the material world, people living with their wives and children, hankering for the pleasure of fruitive activities, very austere brahmacharis, ascetics, mental speculators, people who are very detached, they go through the upper planetary systems, Mahajana Tapa and Satyalokas. Then Lord Brahma, the Paramahansa Sannyasis, and the demons killed by Lord Hari, they go into the Brahma Jyoti. So these people don't make it. Then there's even five types of devotees who don't make it to Goloka Vrindavan or Gokula Vrindavan. And we're going to ask you about this in the test. Five types of devotees who don't make it. The Jnana, this is at the bottom of page 14. Do you see that? Are you with us? The Jnana Bhaktas, Shuddha Bhaktas, Prema Bhaktas, Prema Para Bhaktas, and Prema Atura Bhaktas. They go to Vaikuntha, the realm of Lord Narayan. They don't make it to Goloka. Now, who are these people? What does this mean? Well, the Jnana Bhaktas, their bhakti is mixed with knowledge. Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita discusses these five types. Do you know, I don't know if you'd be able to get this, but give it a try. Anyone want to take a guess? Who is the example given of a Jnana Bhakta? No. Not actually. Huh? Who? No. Bharat Maharaj. He's described in the Bhagavatam actually as being a Jnana Bhakta. And Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita says he is the example of the Jnana Bhakta, the devotee actuated by knowledge. Knowledge of Krishna, actually. It's not really like impersonal knowledge, but this knowledge is like a very strong part of their consciousness. Then the Shuddha Bhakta. This means the devotee who is devoted to the nine processes of devotional service. In other words, the first class sadhaka. Anyone want to take a guess who the example of that is? It is. It's Maharaj Ambarish. To Vaikuntha. Then, the devotees who are actuated by pure love. Who's an example of that? Well, the example is Hanuman. Sanatana Goswami gives these examples. Then the devotees, where are we? No, he was the Prema Bhakta, imbued with loving devotion. Then the fourth category, the devotee actuated by pure love. Who is that? That is the Pandavas. They're in Hastinapur. And then the devotees impelled by overwhelming love. That's the Yadavas. Yadavas, the Yadu dynasty. Anyway, I mean, Dwarka is also part of Swetadweep, but this is coming directly from Sanatana Goswami. Now, the Navadweep part, Swetadweep, in terms of being the abode of the four Yuga avatars, and particularly including Navadweep within it. Swetadweep, and that Navadweep part of Swetadweep, is very, very important because it makes complete the essence of Gokula, which is the loving pastimes of Krishna and Radha and Krishna. So, let's just see. Yeah. What do we say? Yeah. Only those who have all love go to that Gokula. And he says about on page 15, about two-thirds of the way down. Let's see. The gist of the whole matter is this. Goloka, as Sweta Dweep, is eternally manifest because the pleasures of enjoyment of the rasa could not be had in its entirety in the pastimes of Krishna in Vraja. He accepts the emotion and effulgence of his predominated moiety, half, as we said the other day, Sri Radhika, and makes an eternal pastime for the enjoyment of Krishna rasa there. Sri Krishna Chandra, coveting to taste the following pleasures. 1. The nature of the greatness of love of Sri Radha. 2. The nature of the wonderful sweetness of his love, of which Sri Radhika has got the taste. 3. The nature of the exquisite joy that accrues to Sri Radha by her realization of the sweetness of his love. So these are the three special reasons why Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya. So wanting to realize these three things, then Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya in the womb of Sachidevi and appeared in Navadweep, which is part of Sweta Dweep. So Sweta Dweep is very important then because it makes complete Gokula. Even though it may be in the outer portion, but still it's ultimately no less important in this sense that it makes the pastimes of Gokula complete. And without that, Gokula would not be complete. Yes, and in this regard, when we come to verse 56, where Lord Brahma is expressing, giving his final expression of his realization of Goloka Vrindavan, he says, Bhaje Sweta Dweepam Tamahamiha Goloka Mityam. He doesn't make a distinction. Bhaje Sweta Dweepam Tamahamiha Golokam Ityam. They're one and the same. They're existing and complementing each other. So in this way, there is this description here in text 5 of the Sweta Dweep area. And now we will move away from the yantra. And we'll move on to text 6. Text 6 is beginning to introduce the next subject. Just beginning to introduce it. It's like a bridge going into the next subject, which is the material creation from Mahavishnu. Let us recite the Sanskrit of text 6. Evam jyotir mayo deva sadananda paratpara atmaramasya tasyasti prakritya nasamagama. The Lord of Gokula is the transcendental supreme Godhead, the own self of eternal ecstasies. He is the superior of all superiors and is busily engaged in the enjoyments of the transcendental realm and has no association with his mundane potency. So now he's introducing the mundane potency. And in the next section, where Mahavishnu causes the creation, we're focusing on what happens with this mundane potency when the Lord starts having exchanges with it. Anyway, in the purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta makes the point that actually Krishna has only one potency. The sole potency of Krishna, which is spiritual, functioning as Krishna's own proper power, has manifested his pastimes of Goloka or Gokula. By her grace, individual souls, her constituents of the marginal potency, can have admission into even those potencies. Then he goes on to talk about this mundane potency, the deluding energy, who is of the nature of the perverted reflection of the spiritual potency, has got her location on the other side of the river Viraja. So that river Viraja runs outside the Brahma Jyoti, and it's the boundary of Vaikuntha, and on the other side is the material world. So three things are said here about this potency, that by this potency Krishna's pastimes are manifest. This is Yogamaya. Yogamaya, the internal spiritual potency, manifests Krishna's pastimes and helps the devotees. Can any of you think of a verse in Bhagavad Gita which mentions this? Yes. What number is that? Chapter 9, verse 13, I think. Mahatmanas tumam parta daivim prakritim ashrita. Krishna says that the great souls are under, the devotees are under the protection of my divine energy. That is the internal potency. So on one level, the internal potency functions to protect and help the aspiring devotees. And on another level, the Yogamaya, spiritual internal potency, is functioning to manifest, orchestrate, and add excitement to, and so on and so forth, Krishna's personal pastimes, particularly in Goloka Vrindavan, where Yogamaya is manifest as Purnamasi. She is orchestrating the pastimes in Vrindavan Dham, and she makes things very exciting. For example, here, Purnamasi personally, it was her idea, and she did all the negotiations for the marriage of Abhimanyu to Radharani. And there's one drama, Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami, and Sandipani Muni's daughter, Gargi, asks Purnamasi, how on earth did all these gopis marry all these other cowherd boys? And particularly Radharani, how did it happen? How did she marry Abhimanyu? In other words, you know, what went wrong? And Purnamasi says, oh, it was me. I arranged these things. And there's a nice story how on the day of Radharani's marriage to Abhimanyu, Krishna was herding the cows, and he met Purnamasi, who was coming home after the wedding. Purnamasi said, oh, you know, I've been to a wedding. It was such a lovely wedding. and I brought some prasad. Wouldn't you like some? It's very nice. Krishna said, oh, thank you. He took one big lagdu, and he was just putting it, bringing it to his mouth. And he asked, oh, who got married? And Purnamasi said, oh, well, Abhimanyu married, just as Krishna took a bite, Abhimanyu married Radharani. And Krishna immediately spat out the laddu and said, this is the worst laddu I ever tasted in my life. This is terrible. So Purnamasi, Yoga Maya, oh, what a character she is. What a person she is. We'll talk more about that. It's covered more in the Govindam prayers. But basically the idea is, she is a very amazing person. The manifest form, personified form of the entire spiritual potency, which exists for the enjoyment of Krishna and is empowered to act in so many ways, incredible ways, on a vast scale, in the most, you know, like, unique and brilliant ways for Krishna's enjoyment. I'll just give you one example just before we close. This is from, I don't know how many of you have read Lalita Madhava? A couple, three. Well, there is a very astonishing ending. I mean, the whole thing's very astonishing. But the ending is that Radha and Krishna get married in Dwaraka. They're Krishna and Satyabhama, but they actually realize that they're Krishna and Radharani. They realize, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan come. It's a huge reunion, and they are very clear. We are Krishna and Radharani from Vrindavan, but now we're in Dwaraka. So then they get married. And then at the end of the wedding, or at some point in the wedding, at the end of the play, the very last thing that happens is that Krishna tells Radharani that please ask a benediction from me. I want to give you something. So Radharani asks for two benedictions. I'll read them. And then Krishna replies. Anyway, I'll just read this. This is very nice. Radharani asks that to those persons who reside in the profoundly sweet land of Vrindavan and who for a long time yearn with a steady heart to someday attain you, please, O Master of Gokula, appear before their eyes as their youthful friend. So that is the first request for a benediction. And second, O Lord, who places the glistening flute to your handsome mouth, please also grant this benediction. In the district of Mathura, where the many forests bear the sweet fragrances of places where you enjoy pastimes, and which is auspicious, splendid, and endowed with all kinds of sweetness. Please always enjoy transcendental pastimes with us gopis, whose hearts are overcome with love for you. Krishna says, so be it. And Radharani wonders, how could it be? Because we are in Dwaraka. So Radharani asks, how will that be? Because they're in Dwaraka. And then who comes on but Yoga Maya in her Dwaraka form? She's known as Ekanamsa. Ekanamsa. She's a form of Subhadra, who's a form of Purnamasi. They're different features of the personality Yoga Maya. So Yoga Maya doesn't just come on. She sweeps onto the stage, throwing aside the curtain. It's very sort of flamboyant entrance right at the end of the drama.
when Radharani is wondering, how will this happen? Now we're in Dwarka. How will we be together in Vrindavan? So Yogamaya says, friend Radha, do not doubt. At this moment, you are standing in the beautiful and opulent abode of Gokula. Although by the power of time, I've arranged it in a different way, this truth you'll be able to see directly in your heart. Please understand that you are in Vrindavan.